what's on your mind and what questions do you have?
Yeah, well, I always like to start with something positive. So three positive things. So had a new one of my clients referred her sister to me. I don't know if I mentioned that to you or not. So we had an initial meeting with her and her husband. That went really well, thanks to Zoom technology. And then we have our second scheduled meeting to do the financial roadmap with them and share that experience. So that's going well. And it was nice to get, it's always nice to get a referral from a client to one of their siblings. In fact, my client said she actually set in or was on a call with some other advisor that was, because her sister's a teacher and she's about to retire. Then, of course, it's some annuity salesman that's trying to sell some annuity, She just said, I think you need to talk to Michael.
You what?
Her sister said, I think you need to talk to my guy.
Yeah, it's too bad that they take all their money and they tie it up and, something like that. It won't be the worst thing that could ever happen to them, but it isn't
the best thing.
Half as good as if they got a real advisor for the money and all the fees and everything. They could really do well if they think through the process.
Yeah, and she has actually said something I feel like it's a comment that I get pretty often, which is they actually have an advisor they work with now that's not this annuity guy, and he's an older guy, and she said he's done really well for us. I feel kind of bad, but said he's starting to have some health issues, and I really like him, but she said he just doesn't speak our language. He's always talking about stuff way up here. We never understand half the stuff he says. So she said, I like how, I feel like we can talk with you and, you explain things in a way that makes sense to us. So that's always good feedback. Had another referral and new client meeting on Friday. I guess I'm going to have a follow-up meeting. I'm always a little concerned when people don't want to follow our process. I don't know. It's a referral from another client. They've got about $1 million. They're concerned, with the new administration. They're concerned about that. They're very conservative. And so they want to, and he's 83 and she's 72. And so, they want to move out of equities and into fixed and more kind of safe harbor, which we can help them with all that, right? Really kind of in a hurry to do all that. And so I always give after, and we actually had a phone appointment first, and then we had the second in-person meeting. I just went right to the second meeting because we had such a good phone call and their referral. And so I gave them their homework assignment, which they were fine with, the meeting. The wife said, oh, just do that tool where we can upload it all. And then I got an email over the weekend. I sent the executive summary follow-up and all that stuff. And then she said, my husband and I just didn't want to share this much personal information with you. And, if you have any questions about it, give him a call. So I called him about an hour ago. And he's like, well, what do you need our tax return? You should have enough to manage our portfolio. What do you need our tax returns? And what do you need our insurance stuff for? I said, well, I don't know if you have any capital gains, loss carry forwards. No, we don't have any of that. Why? How would I know that? I don't know what tax brackets you're in. What do you need to know that for? And so anyway, he said, we just want you to manage our portfolio. We're doing fine with all the other stuff. So,
you know what I'd tell him? I'd say, would you really go to a doctor and ask for his advice without him examining you?
I know. And I told him that in a meeting. Whenever I told him I wanted all that stuff, I said, it's like going to a doctor. If you go to a heart surgeon, he's going to ask for your medical records, and we need all that to make a decision to help you and to look at everything. So they had brought a couple of investment statements, but there's still some missing. And I said on our phone call, I said, I don't even have all your investment statements. If you wanted to work with me, we'd have to have those account numbers and the statement to transfer. Well, my wife can give that to you, but I just don't, And so I just kind of wonder if I should even, if I should just say, my wife, I touched base with my wife and she said, no, I don't think it's time to refer him to someone else yet, so I don't know. I think part of it is because it seems kind of hurried and because they were referred from a Butler client, not a ideal client, they don't really understand the value of what I do and how I do it. So part of my irritation is you've narrowed me down to just this one, you're just an investment guy, not, you know, what I really do. But I have a really good connection with the wife in our process. I mean, like, she was crying on Friday in a good way, you know, so that's always a good connection when I ask deep questions and they're like, oh, you know, I'm touching a place that's good. So there's a really good connection. And ultimately, since she's younger, you know, she's probably going to end up with all the money, right? So I kind of like.
Just be patient. Understand that he's stressed because he's been watching too much Fox News.
Fox News in general.
One of the things to do is to tell them, you know, what I've got from our psychiatrist, our psychologist that I work with, which is that the number one thing you should do now during a difficult time like this is eliminate some of the negative impact in your life. Okay. Try and eliminate some of the stress by shutting off the TV. You'll enjoy your life more and you won't fill your head with hate.
That's right. Yeah.
They are on there to sell newspapers.
Yeah. I tell all my clients that they're not in the business of getting good information. They're in the business of selling advertising.
Right. So do not, you know, don't confuse what you see on TV with reality. Enjoy a sunset, read a book, and pray, enjoy your peace, enjoy your life. They're not coming for you, okay? It's going to be okay. We go through administration after administration. When my dad spoke of FDR, you would have thought he spoke of the devil incarnate, okay? JFK was like evil coming to roost.
Yeah.
And yet there are those, of course, in our society that think those two guys were among the greatest presidents we've ever had.
None of my clients do.
I understand. And so it's, but, you know,
right.
Do you want to be a crotch?
Everybody has two sides.
Do you really want to be a crotchety, sad old man, or do you want to be a happy one that enjoys the grandchildren and children and does something of purpose or whatever? It's just funny choices people have, you know? It's just easy choices, but they fill their computer with really bad input.
Yeah, that's true. And, do you think I should allow them to have a next appointment even though they're not wanting to get to do all their homework assignments, say, here's what I charge you.
I think you should insist on getting all the information. I cannot give you an analysis of your situation. I do not want to make an error without seeing all your x-rays, without seeing everything and taking all the tests necessary in order to make sure you're physically. I mean, if you go to a physician, he does.
And I was trying to talk with him about that a little bit. It wasn't the ideal situation, but like, for example, I said, well, like the reason I would need to see your insurance is I don't know if you have an umbrella liability policy or not, but we used to, but they won't give me one because of my aging. I said, well, that's an example. I do a great job of managing a portfolio. You get in a wreck and get sued and they take your portfolio away. What good did I do you? You
know? Right. So what titling is everything titled in joint name? And then it's, you're right. You're up for grabs on everything. Not even protection from a little bit of estate planning protection, right? AB trust, nothing. Right. So no, you so really should.
A little bit of a standstill. I feel like that, hey, look, I need this information. He's kind of feeling like you're invading on my privacy. You don't need all that information on my portfolio. And so it kind of feels like, look, if you want to, you know, give us your ideas when you charge, I'm happy to move forward. If you don't, should I just say?
Right. Go to somebody that's a stockbroker. I'm a financial planner. I'm here to help you and guide you on your life, not just on your portfolio. What they want and what they're used to is somebody having you in a box. Even though these people don't know you, they still are being referred to you as a person in a box. And what you're doing is trying to break out of that box and have them see you as a different person. So you've got to reintroduce yourself. So you got to go back and start over and reintroduce yourself. Okay. You said it. They didn't hear it. She heard it. He didn't hear it. And what you say is, look, you're coming here for this. This is who I am. If you want a stockbroker, then Merrill Lynch is right down the street.
Okay.
Right. I'm not going to have malpractice on my watch. And that's really what you say is, I can't afford
that. That's how I feel. That's kind of what's irritating is, like, you've narrowed me down to put me in this box. You're just an investment guy to manage a portfolio. No. How do you recommend? I don't know if, yeah, so I guess what I'm asking is, so normally we have a 3-meeting process, right? Normally we meet people, see if it's a good relationship. Right. They're both talkers, right? So it was hard to kind of keep them, you know.
Yeah.
But we had such a lengthy phone conversation with the husband the first time, and it went really well, and I connected with him, and I thought, I said, you know, and when they came in, we can make this your first meeting or, you know, your referral from another person I know and respect, and she thinks highly of you and obviously thinks highly of me. We can make this the second meeting, and because the financial roadmap is a real deep conversation that deals to your most important values, your most important outcomes. That went really good for them. She, like I said, she even teared up with several questions, like, wow, you know. And so then I assign people the homework, you know. And to me, part of my process is I'm trying to discover if this person is, one, going to do what I ask. Two, is will return our phone calls, complete their homework on a timely basis, and email information so that we can have that experience. Then we get back together and do a balance sheet, a cash flow analysis, and give them a probability of success of achieving their outcomes, the fees that we charge, and if it makes sense for us to work together. And then here's how we work together, if we were to work together. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. So we haven't got to the third meeting. So I'm a little, I hear what you're saying, but I'd be curious on your input. And again, the one thing that, and I said this to Shelly when they met me on Friday, is they seem very rushed. Like, we got to hurry up and take some action before the market goes to hell, goes down 50%. You know, let's move, and I'm like, just slow down. So, you think I should have a, so that's what I'm saying. Should I have, I don't know if I can deal with that on the phone. Should I have another meeting, even though they haven't done their homework? Should I just have a phone call?
I mean, I think these Zoom calls go really well. I'd have a Zoom call with them and said, you know, this is the feedback I got, is that you guys are really anxious to make some changes. The problem is the changes you make long term can really impact your life. I want to make sure we do things in a, it's like saying I my back hurts. I have a sore kidney. Take out my kidney.
Yeah. I mean,
okay. I mean, you can't do that without examining you and knowing who you are and making sure we don't make a mistake. And if you want to rush into something, then rush, you know, I'm not the right guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you got to push them back in order to have them come back to you.
Okay. And then just say, I really need this information. If there's something specific you're concerned about, let me know and we'll talk about that, but
I mean, you can reset. I think you need to, you know, sometimes I have to go back. I can't tell you how many times I have to go back and reestablish why a person wants to do business with me now in coaching. If you were pushing back on me, all right, you and I, you hired me, you got it, you knew it was segmenting, and yet you hadn't segmented anybody away and you hadn't really gotten into setting up your 12-4-2s, we would be going back to the original model. And I'd be questioning why you did it. And, you know, you fill out this form saying, why do I want to change? You know, what's wrong with my life? Go back to that. And I reestablish the fact that those things still exist. You still have too many clients. You're too busy. Life is still chaotic. You don't have any balance in your life. Are those things true? Yes. Okay. The only thing we can control is our activities. We cannot control and create more time, right? So I go back and I reestablish the basis of why we do what we're doing. We're not doing these things because it's fun to get rid of clients. We're doing these things because we're focusing on you and your limited resource time. If we could do it another way, we would. There is no other way. Okay, you've got to limit the number of clients or you will go crazy. Like you have. Okay.
So if they're not available for a Zoom call, they don't know how to do Zoom. There are still some people that aren't comfortable.
Yeah, then you just have another meeting and it costs you some time. That's all.
Okay.
But you've got to go back and reestablish the rationale for why they came in the first place. Okay. They could have gone to anybody. Why me?
They actually did go to someone else who didn't turn out to be as conservative as they thought. He told me about that. They went to, one of our competitors in the next little town over, and the admin said, "Oh yeah, he's real conservative." Said, went in, said, "What are we going to do if Biden gets in? What's going to happen?" "Oh, nothing's going to change. It's going to be just like this." He said, I looked at my wife and said, "I think we're done here." So, and they've been doing, they're kind of, they actually worked for a money management firm years ago that's out of business, and they're all accounts are at Fidelity, and they've, you know, in mutual funds that they've kind of self-managed. So that's part of the other. I think that's where the control comes in.
Well, and part of it is, you know, I'd always said this, you know, it's fine that you're in control and you think you want to do this and you want to make all these decisions. But what happens when you're not here?
Right.
You know, shouldn't we establish something now that works for the next 30 years rather than work for the next 2 months.
Right. Okay, so Zoom call, and then if that didn't work, say I think we just need to kind of take a step back. Here's how we work with clients. This is why we need information. If that's something you're interested in, we can move forward. If you're not, well, I can refer you to someone that will just do some transactions.
We have a fiduciary responsibility to do the right thing for you. In order to do that, I have to have this information. This is completely confidential. This will not be shared with anyone. I mean, that's what he's saying. I don't want to share this because I think you're going to broadcast it all over the state or something. I don't know what he's saying, but there's more behind that than simply, I don't want to give it to you. All right.
All right, and then I got another referral from a customer, which is good. Said, "Hey, my boss said they were looking for a financial guy, and I wasn't sure if you're still taking on new clients or not." And they just got their 1242 red schedule, you know, folders, and it told them we're limited to 70 clients. And so, you know, I replied back and said, "Yeah, well, thank you for thinking of me. We're always looking to work with more clients just like you and your husband."
Right.
So, if your boss is nice, which I assume he is.
Right. This year we're going to be taking on 5 new families. You know, 10 new families. And that's about it. You know, otherwise we're a closed practice. I mean, that's the mentality you want to have them have is that, wow, okay, what number are you up to now? We better hurry.
Right. That's good. You like that.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, that's the way to go. There was an insurance salesman that used to tell people his practice was closed. Mm-hmm. Are you taking new clients? No. Well, what do you mean, no? Only if you're referred in through one of my associates, one of my friends.
Yeah.
Only through my CPA or your CPA, you know, to my CPA. Then we'll let you through, basically. And you know, his business was great. Everybody wanted to get in because they thought it was so exclusive. That was Bernie Madoff. You could only go in through his lawyer. It's, you know, You learn things even from people who have the wrong moral set, the wrong moral compass. You can still learn the skills, you just do the right thing.
Yeah, you learn a lot more from your mistakes and your successes. Unfortunately, if someone that was a failure wrote a book, we wouldn't buy the book or pay them for the book. So it doesn't work out so well.
Yes, we learn from everyone.
Yeah, so I got your book for my staff. Cindy, send those. Thank you.
Oh, great.
So give those to her. So just make sure I understand. So I should set up a 1242 for Zan.
Right.
These are Director of Client Solutions, right? So, and those should be just like with clients, phone calls, Zoom calls.
Yep.
And the monthly topics should just be what's on your mind. And
yeah, it really should be their role and responsibility, right? Based on the 5-star model. Everybody has a role and responsibility. So how are you doing? It's personal and professional goals and achievement versus personal and professional goals. So you want to know what their professional goals are and then their personal goals. You know, I want to run a marathon or I want to lose 20 pounds or I want to just be healthier. Professional goals, I want to get my CIMA, I want to get my CFP, I want to eventually be an FA, I want to do this. And then roles on the team, roles and responsibilities on the team. How are you doing versus your goals as a part of the team in your role? Are you having trouble with it? You know, or you're doing a great job as far as I'm concerned. Do you feel good about what you're doing?
Okay.
So the days of an annual review are over.
Right, I completely agree with that, yeah.
You're having an annual review every month, but it's not a gotcha review. It's a help you review, mentor review. You know, let me help you. If you're getting stuck on anything, please share and I'll be happy to help. So what happens is they really become empowered. And you're constantly trying to fill up their dance card with more responsibility. Okay. So anything that you can shift from you to them, you're going to shift except for things like listening to the client. Okay. So theoretically, if you could spend 100% of your time in front of clients, that's what you should be doing.
For sure. Yeah.
People don't understand that. Well, what about my money management time and what about administrative time? And I said, if you could hire someone to do those things, you would be better off. Just like a surgeon should be spending 100% of their time in surgery. Now they need to spend time with clients. It's important they spend time with patients, profiling them, learning about them, and then listening to them after the operation. That builds rapport and then it builds referral ability because even surgeons need to be referred. So that's why you do those other things plus it's the right thing to do. But theoretically, you're a surgeon, you should be in surgery. The more you're in surgery, the more money you make. So the more you're with a client, the more money you can make. Right? So that's kind of obvious, but this is a piece that I would say probably only 10% of the financial advisors do it. And that's because it apparently is too much time for them to take.
Is it with their employees?
That's always the answer is that, oh, that takes too much time. I'm getting some great feedback on the executive summaries. I don't know what you're hearing, but I've got a guy in Canada. I may have referred to him because he's just like you. He's just really conscientious and he works hard at this. And each week he comes back to me with something like, wow, I didn't understand how impactful this is because
Oh, the executive summaries are really good. In fact, I think that was helpful. There, actually, I've got a fourth referral I forgot about. I haven't met him yet, but one of our new, one of my, I forget what you call it, I guess centers have been, well, he's a subject matter expert, what we call him, subject matter expert in real estate. Yeah. We've been friends for a long time. And he became a client recently. And I think just through our process and then the executive summary after the first call, he sent me in a message Friday saying, hey, I have a friend of mine that I want to introduce to you and I want to see if the three of us could go to lunch. Please give me some days and times next week that work for you.
How good is that, right?
Right. And I think it's a result of, and we haven't even got, you know, he hadn't even been a client for 30 days, right? But he knows other clients of mine that I've referred him to help, you know, list and sell their properties, right? And we've seen two recently that he listed and sold. So that's always good.
Wow.
And so, yeah, one's about $1.5 million, another's about $800,000 property. So it's a pretty good referral. And then, so we've had one phone call, you know, one scheduled phone call and one executive summary. And then I already got the referral. I want to introduce you to someone that I think you can help. So.
Well, think about this. This is what he told me. He said, I asked him if they have, you know, I always tell people, here's your executive summary. If you have something to add to it, or if I've missed something, please let me know. And he's getting people to actually email him back and said, you missed this in our meeting. He said it's terrific because it tells me they're reading it. Plus they're, if they want to add something back in, it's probably something that was important to them.
For sure. Well, the other thing I took your suggestion is we actually created an Outlook template so that it's uniform and it has all the different team members and what action. So I do the one, there's like a salutation, like, hey, great seeing you, you know, enjoyed our time together. And then there's below is a summary of our meeting and what we discussed. And then I put executive summary below there. And then I've made that a little more generic. So I don't have to reinvent it every time. Right. So, you know, whatever the monthly topic is, there's a summary of what we discussed. There's a little something extra. I might add that in there. And then I've got each one of the team members plus the client and myself in there with their description, director, and then say what each person's, you know, thing is. And then a nice little close out of, hey, great seeing you. Look forward. Oh, at the bottom says like yours. Look forward to seeing you at our next meeting on, you know, February the 6th at 4 p.m. So it's true. It's time consuming, but it's good. I'm cutting the time down by having the template. That's helped me a lot. And then I'm having Zan put in that template in all the client folders. So it already has the dates and times of their next meeting below. So all I have to do is open that up. Put in and then, so that shortens a little bit too.
Yeah, it'll get shorter and shorter, and you'll be quicker and quicker, but to the client, it looks so customized.
Right, and I'm doing it at the end of each meeting, or like you said, before I cut out for the day, whether here or at the office.
People accused me, you know, sometime in the middle of this that, oh, Rob, oh, Supernova, that's so cookie cutter. You know, that's so I love that term, cookie cutter. That's so cookie cutter. You know, it's not customized. What we do is customized. Well, what you do is chaos. You know, they didn't have any 1242 and this was their excuse for not doing it. Well, that's just cookie cutter. It doesn't really customize that for you. And in reality, it couldn't be any further from the truth.
Right. It's more systematized.
Yeah, this gives, you know, you're really thinking about the client. And if you got client on today, you know, I thought about you kind of like, not all weekend, but I thought about you, right? Look at your book and think about your case and then call you, right? So I'm not thinking about who am I going to call today? What am I going to do today? You know, so you're spending, you know, maybe a couple of thoughts in the evening about your client before you call them. You prepare Friday, you go home, you're prepared for Monday.
Right.
Got your folders laid out. And
the folders have been a big hit. I mean, no one said like, this is terrible. What is this? You know, it's like, oh, wow, yeah, I like this. So it's been good.
Yeah, they kind of like the physical presence of it, right? It's sort of old school, but it's, you know, they're not going to lose it. And if they lose it, you give them another one. But the idea is that you drop it, it won't break. It's not a computer, you know. It kind of combines the, you know, it's sort of personalized, customized, but with a technology lever, you know, it's not hiding somewhere in a computer.
That's right.
Anyway.
So the CPA that we've talked about before, I sent her two more referrals.
Wow.
And so I thought that it might be a good time to kind of press back in, even though it's in the middle of tax season starting. So how do you think I should press back in? Like, hey, you know, you have no problem taking my referrals, but we need to be, I can make more of these introductions, but I need to be in regular communication with you. I'm trying to figure out how to sort of.
Well, remember the 1242 that you're supposed to have with each center of influence or each subject matter expert, is supposed to be once a month scheduled, and it is your opportunity to give her a referral in person.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's how you convince her that the 1242s make sense. And if you're going to have a 1242 and you're going to bring a referral, it's not that much more trouble for her to bring a referral.
I know. So you're saying to say, look, the purpose of the 1242 in person is so that I can bring a referral to our meeting in person?
Either that or tell you about that person in person and spend a few minutes telling you about my referral. I've got to get your attention. This is how I'm going to get your attention.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring you money. Every month I come to you, I've got a bag of gold over my shoulder for you. Now, if I were if I worked for you and I was your director of marketing,
right,
you would meet with me at least every week. Okay. I am better than your director of marketing. We need to meet every month.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So we got me organized. Now we need to help me grow. So what do you feel like is the next step for me, in terms of helping me grow?
Well, one of the easiest thing is what you're already good at. You're already good at getting referrals from your existing clients. So what we want to teach you is to do more of that. That's Bill Cates's referral model. So here's what I just did with my friend from Canada. He's got real call reluctance, right? And he's a good guy. I mean, really super guy. Good at what he does, conscientious, listens, thinks the world of what we're doing. So, I mean, I really want to bust my ass to help him, right? Cause he's so good, smart, conscientious. Right thinking. And so I said, all right, you really need to learn and get comfortable with the Bill Cates introduction model. And he's like, yeah, okay, I'll practice. And you know he won't, right? he doesn't want to do it because it's like, oh my God. So I said to him, why don't we practice it together? Okay. And I said, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you in a real, this is a real format now. You're a client and I'm going to ask you to do some brainstorming with me. Okay. And I didn't really, it was sort of at the end of the call. So I didn't really have time to go through the whole thing because he was just going on and on about how great I am. And I said, okay, here's what we need to do. The next time we get together, what I want you to do is think about who would value this experience as much as you have. This has been a really good experience for you, right? Right. Terrific. Oh, yeah. All right. So I want you to go through and think of other financial advisors that you know that would value this as much as you have. Would that be okay? Sure. Yeah. Then I reflected back and said, so how did that make you feel? And I didn't go through the whole thing. I just basically said, let's brainstorm. Right. I didn't go through the, you know, what are the three most important. The way it goes is I ask you, if you aren't raving about me or it wasn't a moment where you all of a sudden have said something really nice about your experience, then what I'll do is I'll say, listen, we've got a few minutes left in this. What I'd like to do is ask you an important question. Would that be all right? You go, yeah. Okay. What I'd like to ask you is what are the three things that you valued the most about working with Supernova over the last 10 to 11 weeks? Okay. So go ahead and answer those.
Well, I enjoy our time together, right? It's valuable. The follow-up emails, you know, are helpful, right? And the, once it became a client, the response was pretty rapid. I mean, you know, I don't have any major problems, so I gave you a free pass. Got two strikes, and you apologized on the next call. Like, hey, I know I haven't entered a couple of your emails, right? Cindy tends to be a little more responsive than you, but like I asked Cindy for the books, and you know, they arrived in the mail over the weekend, so I appreciate that.
Good. Okay. If there are a couple things that we could improve, what do you think they'd be?
A fast response time.
Okay.
And actually, one of the things I would recommend you do for you is like, since you're not in the office anymore all day, and you told advisors that, you know, that, hey, you know, you can email me and that kind of stuff, it is that you either have an on the days you're not working, that you either forward those emails to Cindy or copy her, or so she sees them, or have an auto response on your email. Hey, I'm out of the office today. But if this is urgent and you need a response, please let Cindy know, or let her know, like, I need a response before our next call or whatever it might be.
It's really good feedback.
And that might be more important, when you go to monthly calls, right?
Right.
Like, I'm not going to see you till.
Cause I could, I mean, I could easily lose them or miss them.
Right.
So I wonder if I should get a separate email address.
Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out, I actually propose this to clients. I would have just for your coaching clients, and that way you don't get inundated. I actually missed an email last year from a client, and it was one of my top clients. So they actually had emailed me. And I just missed it. And then, I might have even missed the call too, but maybe a calling. And I saw that I got a call. They waited, like they sent me an email. I didn't respond. I missed the email somehow. They called me like a week later and said, hey, is Preston back in town? Or maybe they said, da-da. So I called them and they said, hey, did you have a good trip? I was like, what do you mean? I mean, we've been really busy. Said, well, we sent you an email a couple of weeks ago and I never heard back from you. I was like, I am so sorry. And I apologize. I said, when did you send it? And they told me, and I said, I wonder if it went in my junk box. Sometimes clients do go, it does go in the junk box, but
right.
Anyway, I found it and I said, I am so sorry. I somehow missed that email. I said, please forgive me. And they said, well, it wasn't urgent, but we thought it kind of wasn't like you. And maybe they called first and then sent an email or vice versa. I can't remember, but they weren't mad. They just were kind of surprised. They said, well, we knew it wasn't like you because you always respond right away. You know, I said, you know, I try and turn all calls daily between 3 and 4, worst case scenario, 24 hours, unless I'm out of town. I said, please, if you ever, you know, don't get a response in 24 hours, please call, you know, something's wrong. I'm in my junk box. And if you call, leave a message, I'll respond. Please, you know, please forgive me. You know, please, something happened there too. And so they said, oh, yeah. And I sent them a gift card with a little thank you, you know, like, hey, I bought, they love Chick-fil-A, right? So I sent them a $25 gift to Chick-fil-A. The next time we had a meeting, they said, you really didn't need to send the gift card. That was not necessary, but thank you. We just got there eating at Chick-fil-A and we thought about you. And I said, well, you know, I've been thinking about having a clients only email address. So, and that would be the email address, clientsonly@rosemondfinancialgroup.com. What do you think about that? They said, oh, we think that's a great idea. So that way it'd only be clients' emails, but I haven't figured out internally how to manage that yet, because then it'd have to either go in a separate little box and now I got a hold. So, but I think it's a great idea and I'm thinking about doing it for my clients to have a clients only, because I'm sure like me, you get inundated with emails and most of them are not important.
Yeah, I have two different emails coming at me, my Gmail and then my Supernova email. And then I've got another issue with my phone not sending back emails. So I got to get on my computer. Something screwed up about my phone won't send certain emails out. And so I have to get on my computer to respond. And then I'm only at my computer. I can't do it when I'm off playing golf. So. That's really good feedback and I apologize for it. And it's a problem when you are, I went from maximum intensity where you are. I'm retired. I'm doing this for fun. I'm going to help a lot of people. And if they don't like it, give a shit.
Right.
Right. You kind of like, you really have to go a hard turn to do that. And it was very hard for me. And I finally got to the point where I'm okay being not perfect, but I certainly can't go that far as to not responding to emails. Okay. And, with taking on this new responsibility for this big project, I sure as heck can't screw that up. So, I almost feel more conscientious about that than I do even this business. So it's really good feedback and I think I will get a third email for clients only and make sure that it goes to Cindy. I'll talk to her about that today. All right. So we just went through that and we got to run, but, so what you do is you take that seriously. And if it's enough negative feedback that you think that you need to make some changes and, you know, that pretty much threw you off your game, then you just say, thanks for the feedback. I'll meet with my team and we'll come back and talk later, right?
Yeah, I think it's good.
You can always back out of this VIPSA experience, value, important, permission, suggestion, advice. You can always back out of it. That's where people don't understand. As long as you know the script and memorize the script, you can take it anywhere you want as fast as you want or as slowly as you want. So you could do it as I did it initially, which was, you know, let's.
With this thing. I know it's VIPSA, but value.
Value, important, suggestion, permission, suggestion, advice. And the advice is the A that we put it, his is VIPS, VIPS, and ours is the A on the end. And the advice model, I've taught you the advice model, which is, you know, if you were me, how would you go about doing that? That's really important to get to the close. Okay. But the value is, you know, what are the three things that you valued the most from working with us over the last year or 8 weeks or 10 weeks or 2 years or whatever that period is. The second is important I ask is, you know, I've got an important question to ask you. With your permission, all right, so now with your permission, what I'd like to do is do a little brainstorming together. Would that be okay? What about? Well, what we brainstorm about is who would value this as much as you have. Okay? Mm-hmm. Or I could say to you, what I'd like to do in the next call is do some brainstorming about who would value this as much as you have. Would that be okay? And you go, sure. Okay. And then what we do in the brainstorming. So why don't we do that? Okay. I know this sounds self-serving, which it kind of is, but, it kind of makes you understand what it feels like to be on the other side. And that's important that you don't feel like somebody is beating you up or intruding on you.
It's very soft. It's fun.
No. And the other part is, you know, if you give me some negative feedback, I'm out of here, right? I'm going to stop. So but if you like what we've done together, you would want to make me happy and make the client, the other guy happy. Now, one of the things that comes up is, you know, kind of, I thought that I would like to kind of keep this proprietary, you know, I want to be the only guy in town that's doing this.
Sure.
So that's, the good news is that most people aren't as good as you are. And what you have will not be interrupted by somebody else having supernova. They'll just improve their client experience instead of the world having horrible experiences. So let's interrupt it there and we'll pick it up, okay? When we start with us doing some brainstorming on who would value this as much as you have. The advantage of this, Preston, instead of getting one introduction, you can end up with four or five candidates. Now, you only focus on one at a time, but that gives you a list to work on for the next 6 months.
Okay.
So it will work. It will work beautifully, but you got to do it. So read the chapter. I think it's chapter 7, but I don't remember.
I've actually read Bill Cates. I'll probably reread it. I've read his newest book. I've seen the videos.
Yeah. But it's in, I write about it in my chapter too. And I've got the A in there and we'll go through the example in the book on the multiplier. So okay. Supernova multiplier. Okay.
All right. Have a good round.
No, I've got more work today. Today's a working day. Thanks. Bye.
See you later.